Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is surprising, right? I mean, even though it, you know, I mean, these days it happens less and less that people don't know, because obviously I've been doing it for a long time and lots of people do subscribe and
Yeah.
stuff. But I'm speaking to a group of people that you know, they're working in exec search. They're working in oftentimes very niche type of environments, and they don't know. Like, lots of people have never heard of recruiting Brainfood. It was actually one of the hell I was, which actually was a very interesting experience. And I hope I managed to put it off. You know, sometimes you can get away with a lot of like warm crowd
Yeah.
stuff. Like, the crowd, you
Yeah.
know, obviously it's got such goodwill that you can stumble over it and people
Yes,
think it's all
yes.
right. But this time it was, I think it was all right. But I'll wait and see.
Awesome. What
Anyway,
a cool opportunity.
it is, yeah, I'm very pleased to be here. Oh, by the way, if you're watching this from MPA Worldwide, and you should be paying attention to another talk, by the way, so you shouldn't be watching this on LinkedIn. But yeah, I'm just referring to the fact I'm kind of broken away momentarily from a conference I'm attending in order to bring you Brainfood Live on Air, because Brainfood Live on Air never stops every Friday, folks. We're episode 158 today. That's a huge number of episodes. So thank you for joining us, and thank you for being part of the show. So very excited to be having this conversation today. And it's a tough topic, folks, because it's one of those which I hope not to have to do for the next couple of years at least. But it looks like, just looking at the headwinds, it looks as if, you know what, it's not looking so great in terms of the global economic situation. People are talking about recession, talking about depression, talking about stagflation. All of those things are the current topic of du jour. But how do we recession-proof ourselves so that we're in good shape no matter what the market conditions are? So, good show, folks, and good one to have a conversation with. Okay, so before, and by the way, we've got Vanessa back. Boom, second week in a row.
Whoop whoop. Excellent.
What
Good
is
to be
going
here.
back by popular demand? I
Yeah,
mean, then again, Vanessa, you're super popular anyway, so great to see you there. Oh, by the way, a
it.
quick shout out to the people who are good. Be on the 22nd of June, because Vanessa Rath is coming into town, and at least
Yeah, seems like we've lost hang. I think he's got a bit of a poor connection there in Barcelona. Let's
lost Vanessa
just
there, which is rather disturbing, but it's
wait.
good that we do this type of checking anyway. I just want to make sure everyone can hear me okay on audio. So if you can hear me on.
Oh no, now we wait for Mr. Hang Li to connect. So this is when I should have had a dance or a song or something prepared to take over when Hang disappears, right? So let's put it out to the audience. Anyone got any requests or anything that they would like me to give a song and a dance about? Okay, let's wait and see when Hung comes back in. Unfortunately, Dorothy, we're looking forward to having you on today's show. I am hoping that Hung's going to be back because I don't have the power to bring you onto stage, which is unfortunate. So we'll just have to wait. Okay, there's a message from Hung. Thanks, Anthea, the Vanessa Rath Show. So as I say, I take requests. I can do some songs. It is Friday afternoon here in Johannesburg in South Africa. So I mean, I'm feeling quite buoyant and cheerful. Cool. So guys, where are you? Let's get some chat going in the chatter. Help me out here. Just want to know where everyone is coming in from. Thanks, Chrissy. I feel like I should have prepared something a little bit better for this. Usually we start the what's been the best bit of my week? Sure, there's been so much happening this week, to be honest. I've delivered a lot of training and I think that that always makes me excited. Together was awesome, Anthea. I hope that you guys made the Together conference by a recruitee out of the Netherlands. Oh, Tom, I'm sorry that I just seem to be everywhere at the moment. So I was on Dueling Sources on Tuesday. That was a definite highlight of my week. I was on Together with Mr. Brian Fink. Oh, there's Dorothy, yay, and Anna Pavlova
Hi.
on, I think that was Wednesday. So it's been a busy week, a lot of presenting. Yay, Neil and Dorothy, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I've been sent by Hung like the cavalry just to make sure that the three of us can be lost together.
I'm not lost. I was about to do a song and a dance, but no one's really given me anything that they've given me any ideas of what I can sing about. No, it's seriously, it's good to have you both here. Really, really good. Good to meet you in person, shall I say. So while we're waiting for Hung, why don't we wait for, why don't we just do a little bit of a brief introduction? So should we hand over to the thorn amongst the two roses to begin?
Are you referring to me?
No, I was actually referring to the gentleman.
Neil, you're the thorn.
Fair enough. So what's my week been like? Well, if you're following the chat, I was at WEC last week and came down with COVID. Thankfully, I've had a relatively easy run, and you can get back from Brussels to London without a test. Unlike my good friend and colleague Richard Valquist from the ASA, who's been stuck in Belgium for the last week.
I'm in Brussels. There are worse places to be stuck.
Indeed, there's plenty to do, and the food is, as always, excellent, Dorothy. Those that know me will know that I'm the chief executive of the REC. My defining feature as a Scot is the Presbyterian work ethic, so I like to come down with COVID the night before a four-day bank holiday weekend for the Queen's Jubilee. So I did all my COVID while I was off and have been working mostly online this week. Our data for the UK is out this morning at the REC. Stonkingly strong market, but I think as we go to the discussion we'll have later on, the question is, how does this normalise and what does it look like when it normalises? I think a lot of us shuddered a bit when we looked at the US inflation data half an hour ago.
Yes, absolutely. And are you feeling better, Neil? Are you?
Yeah, I'm absolutely fine. Excellent. Yeah, I had a dodgy 24 hours, but still testing positive, unfortunately.
Oh, shame. I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, good. Great to hear from you. Dorothy, let's get your introduction from the lovely Brussels. But I thought it was freezing cold. What does freezing cold mean to someone in Brussels?
Freezing cold means it's just really, really cold. Okay. I think it's about, at night, it's about 8 or 9 degrees. It's not ideal for June. So I've got an HR background. I've done in-house agency. I run my own business. This will be since I started running my own business, this is my probably potentially third recession. So I'm sort of the poster girl for pivoting. So I ventured broader than just straight executive search. And now I do general talent management consulting.
Excellent. And well done for, you know, getting through two previous recessions and potentially a third on the way. So guys, thanks for all of your comments in the chat. I appreciate that. As most of you know, my name's Vanessa Rath. I'm here from Johannesburg in South Africa. It's cold here. So cold for a South African is 17 degrees. So that's quite chilly. I was on the show last week with Hung. Yeah, absolutely. That's why I always like to compare different people's perceptions of the weather. I'm a global talent sourcing trainer. I love training people all over the world. I really am passionate about empowering people to do better. I also work as a freelance sourcer, and I'm actually off to sunny UK in about 2 weeks' time. So I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm coming to present a couple of training workshops and speak at a conference for the recruitment network. So I'm looking forward to it. So I've just seen a message from Hung saying that he can't get back on. Hung, what would you prefer? Do you want us to log off and re-log in so you can join us? Do you want us to just carry on with the show? What would you like us to do? It is your show. We can have the Vanessa show. Carry on. He's figuring it out. Okay, brilliant. Oh, look, someone from Firefish saying that Glasgow at 19 degrees. Excellent. I'm sure everybody's out in their summer wear as well. So enjoy it, the Scots people amongst us. So, Neil? Let's get on to the topic then. I mean, if we're going to carry on, we might as well start talking about recession-proofing our recruitment careers. So let's start with you. What do you think? I read a whole lot of articles from Recruiting Brain Food in preparation for my discussion with Hung, which doesn't look like we're going to get to. But yeah, some really frightening data coming out of the US. A lot of layoffs happening. We've seen what's been happening at Tesla. What is your view on this?
So I think there's a really bizarre confluence of issues happening here, which is we have to start with the principle that we've only seen about half of the economic change that the pandemic will will wreak. So there's a lot of change coming. There's a lot of companies who, of course, relatively cash rich because they pulled all that money in during the pandemic, and they're thinking about when to make the jump to what's next. Across the developed economies, really robust bounce back, really labor heavy bounce back. Some of the onshoring that's taking place around supply chains, in particular around sustainability, the effects of Chinese zero COVID policy, which cannot be understated as a driver of the inflation that we're seeing, leaving aside obviously the issue of Russia-Ukraine. Although Russia-Ukraine is huge. I'm fitting out the new REC office at the moment. We're moving at the end of the year into more hybrid space. We're saving REC members money, I'd hasten to add. But 90% of the timber that's used to fit offices in the United Kingdom comes from two countries, Russia or the Ukraine. So there's that kind of impact on our supply chains means that there is a short bump of not just the bounce back from the pandemic and people letting some of that cash go as consumers, but actually also some onshoring. So we're going into this. It's a very odd recession in as much as labour markets are super tight in most developed economies. There's going to be some kind of slowdown. I tend to the view that there'll be a technical recession in most countries. It might not be, on the upside, it might not be as challenging for the industry as recessions typically are, just because we've got such a candidate availability problem right now. So it'll get worse, but it might not get as bad. But in terms of what you can be doing as a recruiter now, it's all about your client relationships. It's about walking by the side of your clients, understand where they're going, not where they've been. Hitting the C-suite relationships where people are making decisions not about do I fill a seat, but what teams am I building? And really investing in that, because that's what will give you the visibility to know where to invest your time going into the next period and where to step back. The most common story amongst REC members in the UK right now is one last thought is pick your clients wisely, look for the ones who are looking for long-term relationships, and make sure that you're not just taking contingency business where you're putting a lot of effort out for a low rate of return, which the minute the economy turns will go south. Now, if you're a business leader, what does that mean? It means your consultant skill sets are really important. And it's those added value conversations. So as always, the tech, we all talk about the tech all the time in recruitment. The tech's important. It's a human business.
Absolutely. And I think that that's what we need to realize. And that's hopefully what the pandemic has taught us, is getting back to that human. And the companies that I can see that are doing really well are, as you say, forming, it's not even like a relationship, but it's a real partnership with the clients. You know, the clients has to trust the recruiters at the end of the day to share what is their long-term vision. I think a lot of companies are going to have to be very careful about their hiring. Who are they hiring? What are they putting out there? You know, hiring during a recession is pretty complicated too. So, Neil, very valid points. Thanks for sharing. And well done for saving your members some money. That's what happens when you put a Scotsman in charge of the REC, right?
Watch the money and watch the pennies.
Excellent. Dorothy, I'd love to get your take on this from a, you know, more of a global perspective. What is your view? And I mean, you've got such great experience in this space. What can you share with us?
I think one of my observations is that we heard a lot of talk about the Great Resignation, and I think this was from just not from me, but from other colleagues that work in the space. It was quite an Anglo-Saxon thing. In Europe, I would say we had the Great Resignation thought. So a lot of what we didn't have people just giving up their jobs for nothing in the way that they did maybe in the States or elsewhere. But certainly what my team noticed is that people were much more willing to engage. We had a much higher response rate to any contact where we might have, you know, had to pushed a bit, but we found people much more willing to engage. And then, you know, they assessed opportunities probably more thoughtfully than they might have done in the US, because we're seeing people have buyer's remorse where they're regretting that decision. And it was just quite interesting. There's a LinkedIn specialist called Mick Adam, who I suggest you follow if you don't know him. And he does monthly stats, and he does them for Belgium. And in Belgium, what we saw was a drop on professional positions, recs being posted, but an increase in lower levels. So we saw job boards go up, but LinkedIn go down. So we still have big gaps in retail, hospitality, care, all of those things. But some of the, there's been a bit of a slowdown on the professional side. How that is right across Europe, I don't know, but it's probably a reasonable indicator. I think Germany might be a little bit more in line with the UK. I don't know if there's anyone on from Germany here who can verify that, but that's my observation.
Very interesting. And I must say, your observations online with this, what is happening in my part of the world, South Africa and African context, I like to include Australia and New Zealand in that, is that we didn't really have a massive great resignation as what happened in the US. I just don't think people are in such a strong financial situation in order to just resign with nothing else to go to. You know, we don't have the support that other countries have. So it's been super interesting. But you know, from what we were saying and what we heard of Hung before he dropped off, I'm sure he's still trying to get back on, is what are we going to do from a recruiter perspective? And I can see from a lot of the people who are in the chat, and Tom has actually asked a really good question that I would love to actually get your answers on. So Tom asked, you know, what is the profile of somebody who survives a recession? You guys, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, you've got lots of experience in this space. For you, what attributes do recruiters have to survive potentially this upcoming recession? Dorothy, let's start with you on this one. You've seen this happen a few times before in your career. Who survives? Who do you see on the other side?
Well, the first recession that I encountered was the tech one in, or the, I don't know what they call it, the dot-com bubble or something or other. That was in the early 2000s. And I was pretty much caught unawares, I have to say. But happily, I'd had a successful business and I had deep pockets. So my first tip would be make sure that you have something in the bank. Okay. If you don't have anything in the bank, so 2008 through 2009, I'd learned my lesson. And so my tip there would be to be a continuous learner.
Yeah.
I mean, really diversify your skill set, understand what your transferable skills are, really network I won't say aggressively, but very persistently. Make sure you've got a diverse network. And if you can do your recruitment across disciplines, that would be even better, because I just had a quick look today before I came on, and certain markets are still buoyant, you know, pharma, healthcare, some things like medical devices, places. So, you know, keep an eye on what's going on the market, which industries are buyant, which industries are cutting back. Something else I picked up on LinkedIn, and I'll put this in the chat in a minute because I can't multitask, is that there is a platform now that I think it's called layoffs.com, FYI, or something like that. And it actually gives you the heads up of which companies are going to be making layoffs. So look out for alerts of which industries are in trouble, which industries are doing well.
There were actually two articles in Hung Lee's newsletter on Sunday, and they were actually ones that I was going to talk about. There was a whole list, a Google Documents list from Klarna, which was all of the people who'd been affected by their layoffs, and then another very interesting article from Protocol about, you know, what were people's plans, what percentage of their staff were they looking to lay off, and I agree with you. These are completely the things that we have to look out for. So before I comment on this, Dorothy, I completely agree with you on your first point. Let's hear from Neil. What do you think recruiters are going to need to get through what could be potentially this upcoming recession?
So let's look at a market like the UK, where pretty much in most sectors, recruiters have had the best first half of the year that they've ever seen. And, you know, my biggest challenge as chief executive of the REC is not wandering around with my bell going, the end is nigh, the end is nigh. But, you know, literally as recruiters, we're going, I can see this business here and it's brilliant, but I can also see that over there and it's pretty shocking. Now, the challenge, come back to Dorothy's point, cash, it's a cash game. It's a cash flow business, particularly if you're in the temp side. Growing means stretching your cash flow. Mm-hmm. Be really, really decisive when you choose to do things that stretch your cash flow.
Yeah.
You know, feel confident on the return on those things. Don't overstretch. Second piece then is about mindset. When I'm doing industry events during and leading up to recessions, I tend to show people a graph that I built years ago when I was at the CBI, and I've updated, which is economic growth in the United Kingdom in the best year since the Second World War and in the worst year since the Second World War. It needs updating now because 2020 is now actually the worst year since the Second World War. But it's basically two skyscrapers, and they're both enormously tall, and one is slightly taller than the other. There is always loads of economic activity going on, right? The cake getting slightly smaller, yes, that's a challenge, but there is also always a slice to go and find. So you need that resilience and that sense that there is activity going on out there. So, you know, not getting too down when the market's on the way down, not getting too up when the market's on the way up. And in doing that, again, mindfulness about, well, how do we pivot? Go to Dorothy's point. Where are the opportunities?
Yeah.
And how do we do that? Not led just by our gut, but by those deep client relationships we've been continuing to foster during the downturn and during the upturn. I think that set of skills is pretty much at the heart of the most successful surviving businesses we've got. I remember doing our first fully online conference in September 2020 after we had to jump the in-person one. And James Reid was speaking on it. And he, in September 2020, his message to REC members was, if you're going to want consultants for the recovery, go and hire them now, because you're not going to get them in the summer of 2021. And he was right, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's the hottest, absolutely.
Experienced consultants is the hottest market
in
the labour market.
I've never been so in demand.
Well, I mean, you're always in demand.
No, but absolutely. And I agree. And a valid point that you raised there, Neil, was the transferable skills. And this is what I found from a lot of people working in recruitment. They don't realize how much knowledge they actually hold and how much value they can offer to clients. I mean, even just by diversifying your offering, instead of offering a full recruitment function, offer like a CV reviewing service to people. If you only did tech before, tech's the most difficult recruitment often to do because, you know, the people are difficult. Diversify and go and focus on an industry where things are pumping at the moment. I think it's all about being able to pivot.
And recruitment is retention, okay? If you go to the US or the UK, right, what we are seeing right now is clients scrabbling to keep hold of the people they've got. Well, you know how to help them make a pitch for people to come on board.
Yeah,
help them make a pitch to get people to stay. Get that brand value, employee offer right. And what lots of the top of these businesses don't understand is they think it's all about money, and it's never all about money, especially in places like Europe. And I think that's as true of the UK as well as the bits of Europe that are still in the European Union. My favourite example that I stole from an REC member. Two logistics warehouses, hourly paid, not massive rates. He's supplying them both. One pays a pound more than the other. The one that pays a pound less has brilliant retention. The other one doesn't. Why? Because the cafeteria is decent, the loos are clean, and the managers behave like human beings. That stuff really matters.
Yes.
So and companies lack understanding of that because they've made HR a process, many of them over years, that employee relations stuff. If you're deep in your sector, you can advise.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So another thing, you know, I agree with you with what you've just been saying there. I mean, I can't believe that like £1 difference, you know, for the workers. And you're right. It's the much bigger picture. And again, it's this whole everyone must return to the office. You know, what's going to work for some people is the fact that they're going to be able to stay remote. Some people can't wait to get back into the office. Not too many from what I'm hearing from. And other people are looking for hybrid. So this is also going to throw a curveball on top of all of these factors as well. So, Dorothy, what I wanted to chat to you about was, and I thought, you know, coming into this chat, I was just thinking I'm coming off a good week. It's, you know, I've done a lot of shows and things. I've got 3 international speaking engagements kind of booked up, and there's lots happening. Then we get on here and we talk about recession. And what comes up time and time again is to, you know, stay up to date, keep learning. And I totally agree with that. I'm a lifelong learner. But what would you be encouraging people, again, having experienced this, what areas do they need to be learning in? Because especially as Neil referred to, budgets are going to be tight. Any training that you're investing in has to ensure an absolutely phenomenal return on investment. So where should recruiters be upskilling and training themselves?
I don't think there's any one size fits all, because each recruiter will have a different profile. I mean, that's why having some sort of self-awareness, understanding transferable skills. My observation is that recruiters spend a lot of time analyzing and other people, but they don't spend much time thinking about themselves. So I think it's about, where are your strengths? You know, doing a real SWOT analysis of your strengths. Mm-hmm. I don't like to put weaknesses, but your development needs, and then looking for those opportunities. And I think one of the good things about the pandemic, if there was anything good, is that learning became so cheap.
Yeah, and accessible.
And I can say this is this going out on LinkedIn? You can join LinkedIn free for a month, and you can access all their trainings. Yeah. And even though truthfully they're not brilliant, they're adequate. I mean, I've done a couple myself, and just to test them, and they are perfectly fine to give you some basics. But I think that just look at your skill set, decide what you need to do. I think if I was going to take a punt on something, my own view is that recruitment and OD are going to overlap and coming up in the next like 5-6 years. Okay. And that's what I would be looking at: psychometric testing, organizational design, all of these things, because there's going to be pressure on people to make diverse hires. And it means we're pressurizing our hiring managers to make profiles more realistic. We might even go to blind CVs without academic qualifications. So we're going to need people to test. There has to be some level of competence testing. So I think if I was going to say, what would you do? That is what I would advise.
Super interesting with psychometric. So super interesting though with psychometrics always being a recruiter's best friend, right? So interesting to see that that's what you say. And I actually tend to agree with you. I was having a discussion about that this week. Neil, from a learning and development perspective, where do you think recruiters, what could they be doing to kind of get ahead of this whole recession thing? What do you think?
Well, something short term, something medium term, something long term. Short term is a disgraceful plug. If you're not coming to REC Live 22 on the 30th of June, it's free. It's on all day. You can access from wherever you are. Do sign up, rec.uk.com. Medium term, I think it is about those people skills. And if we think about the way we've structured our industry over time, we are structured in quite a short term way. Mm-hmm. And in doing... and think about how we reward consultants, think about how we run desks. That is fine. It's never going to change. It's a delivery business. Mm-hmm. But we need a notch more of the long term. So that means investing in the added value conversation skills. We've seen that big shift in lots of the industry away from 360 towards 180 and even sub 180 structures, putting teams around clients. I think lots of businesses learned the importance of that in the pandemic. You know, if you furlough your key consultant for a client, do you still have that client? So there's a piece around how do we broaden out those people skills, those relationship skills, and get people focused on teams around clients. So that's an immediate training need to be thinking about. And then long term, I think the big thing is, well, what is our budget for thinking about strategy for our desk and for our business? And it's never going to be huge because it's a delivery business. But every recruiter should take time to stand back at just every so often. Might be for 10 minutes a week, might be for half an hour or a week, might be for an hour a month, and go, where am I going with this business? And are all the decisions I'm making consistent with it? So am I am I taking work on that actually isn't moving us forward, and instead not doing the prospecting that might move us towards where we want to be? So something short, something medium, something long term, including a disgraceful plug, but I was going to get it in at some stage.
I could see that. No, I completely agree, and I like that you've got different structures in place and ready for this. So from a recession perspective, you know, if the recession's on its way, I quite like the fact that I'm based in South Africa, because I can sit back for a couple of months, see what happens in the rest of the world, and kind of anticipate what's going to be coming to our markets. So again, from the recession perspective and recruiters getting on top of what they need to do to get ready for this, what does this say about the demand for recruiters, the salaries that some recruiters are being paid? Where do you see that ending up? I mean, is the heyday over? What do you think?
Want me to take that?
You can take it with pleasure, Dorothy.
I think we're all making projections now that may not be based on anything that will actually happen. And once again, I think it depends how much your reserves are. I'm a big fan of not working for nothing. So if my margins are pushed down so low, I'd rather, I don't know, go and see my grandkids or do something else. But some people don't have that luxury. I don't work on contingency. I think it's a horrendous model. I think it kills the business. But a lot of people don't have any other choice. So that's why I prefer to focus on, you know, personal development, expanding your reach, expanding your skills. And you can go into consulting. There are always things going on. And quite often when organizations are contracting, you can do a lot of redundancy work. So I do, yeah, in the recession, I do a lot of outplacement redundancy work. Yeah. So I think
offboarding people.
Yeah, offboarding. Yeah. So I think it really depends on your budget. And yeah. And as Neil said, it's about managing your margins and your money.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Hung has thrown into the chat on what's now going to be called the Vanessa Show, he said that, you know, a lot of recruiters have been overpaid for the last 12 months. You know, well, where can we see these people being in the next 3 to 6 months? It's going to be a really interesting take. Neil?
So we published some benchmarking data on recruiter salaries for REC members early in the year, and we rushed it through, to be honest, because we felt we needed to get it into the market. And essentially the subtext of that, it's all available on the REC website, is don't chase the market up. Are seeing sort of medium productivity consultants being paid a lot of money. Some of that inflation is coming from coming externally. It's clients who are struggling to hire, beefing up their internal teams. It's businesses who are existing in the periphery of the industry wanting to bring people in to advise. Internal salaries for internal recruiters in the UK have really shot up. Is that a good long-term value play for those clients? I'm not sure it is, actually, in terms of, I think internal teams have quite a big, have a role to play, but it's different to what you do in agency. I think thinking strategically long-term about your staffing, the triangle's dead clear for all businesses. It's what are you going to buy now? Perm, it's probably going to cost you more. What are you going to borrow? Yeah. In terms of agency, and what are you going to grow? And I think in reality, getting a really strong grow framework in place, and you probably need to do it now to be positioned for the upturn, is super important. Agree completely with Dorothy on the work you chase. Obviously, not everyone can get to retained, but you've got to get to at least exclusive, because otherwise, where's your chance to bring the fee in?
Absolutely. And I'm seeing a lot of businesses doing really well at the moment in the RPO space. That seems to be something that's really popular, as you mentioned, retained before. Super interesting space to watch. So, Neil, I mean, you're in the recruitment game. You're dealing with recruiters all of the time. Can you share for some people here who own recruitment businesses, what are some of the best incentives or staff retention or talent retention strategies that you are seeing out there? Because, I mean, it's been a long time since I have worked on a recruitment desk in an agency. Our incentives were purely financial, and I've been seeing some interesting things out there. What are you seeing?
Yeah, look, we've got lots of innovation going on right now. And yeah, you're right. The move, cash is always important. Recruitment's a sales business. Salespeople like cash-based incentives, everybody does. But there's more to it than that. There's a lot going on in terms of kind of workplace. How are we making the workplace a really good place to be that you want to be? Have a look at that new Harvey Nash head office in London for an example of that. We're seeing recruitment firms playing with the four-day week and seeing good returns on productivity on it. Now, you've got to get that right. Like everything else, it's not a staff benefit. It's about work design. So you're going to negotiate what you want as a firm for the people in return for giving them that extra space. But the members I'm talking to who are playing with it seem to be able to make it work longer days, over 4 days. Again, very industry specific. And then kind of really fun stuff. I think important, especially in those businesses that are doing more time at home in a hybrid model, time together, people click off each other. So just making sure that you're budgeting in a bit of time for people, both work time and downtime, for people to be together, but increasingly away from the kind of classic model of all the top billers on a plane to Ibiza or everyone in the pub. Because if we're going to survive as an industry, we have to be inclusive. And we have to have a broader range of sales, because coming back to something Dorothy said earlier, to sell to clients in this market, we've got to look like we're walking the walk in our own business. So there's a lot still to do, I think, in the industry on being properly inclusive and thinking about our benefits in that sense as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great answer. Dorothy, anything that you'd like to add to that around, you know, recruiters are quite notorious for moving around quite a bit. What are you seeing out there with trying to retain good recruiters? Because unfortunately, they as I say, they hop. And at the moment, from what I'm hearing, is that people are moving for just small increments as opposed to massive.
Well, I have to say that hasn't really impacted me, because I work on flex and I work with people situated remotely. And it's a system that works well for me. Because it's not that it's a key element of my business, but it's not my only piece. And certainly what I found during the pandemic, when everybody was fighting over these really tight and difficult to find, I met a lot of recruiters who were really just working around the clock, chasing down candidates and not getting, not being able to get a final offer. They'd get them through the door and they quit. And if they were tied into a replacement element. So I know a lot of people who actually ended up with really, despite all the hype, their margins were very narrow. So what I did was I was very careful what I picked. And if it was something that I thought that you just grind yourself down chasing something really difficult, particularly if the employer brand was hard. And truthfully, there are some organizations out there that, you know, you just need to do a lot of internal work to make yourself more marketable. I mean, to your point about being a decent human being, you know, that, got a lot of cleaning up to do. So I steered away from that, but I focused then on coaching and training. So my business is multifaceted and consulting.
And that's such a brilliant idea. I really believe that that's what you have to do. If you can see it coming down the horizon, I must admit I've had a great 18 months on the training side, but if there's a recession coming, how much are people going to invest in training? I need to start thinking about, okay, what else can I do here? You know, and I think that that's the beauty of it is pivoting. Neil, you look like you had something you wanted to add there.
I just going to pull out Dali's comment in the chat about kind of how you manage your people in a recession. You know, a lot of the upside in recruiter pay is because some firms moved really, really sharpish to reduce headcount. And the truth is, traditional model recruitment, we think of growing turnover means growing headcount. And if turnover is dropping, we take headcount out. I think we've got to get better understanding where the value is created in our businesses and thinking about how we improve productivity so that we can maintain more of that headcount through recessions. That is really difficult, but I think most countries are doing some form of management development, productivity support, planning for particularly for smaller businesses. So if you're in that space, you know, in the UK we've got Help to Grow Management, for instance. Getting into that, I think, is really helpful. It will also feed into what you want to do with your investment in tech. But that sense of, where am I creating value? Because if you're creating value in the personal relationships of the people on your desks, then it's kind of counterintuitive to cut hard if there's a recession. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think it boils down to a lot of, you know, working smarter, not harder during these times. That's a big one. Hung's actually asked a very interesting question in the chat, which I actually want to focus on, because a lot of the articles in last week's Recruiting Brain Food was all about this remote and then back to the office and all that confusion. So Dorothy, let's start with you on this one. And it's a simple question. Do you feel that recession is going to kill the remote worker? I mean, I think that we could be seeing a power shift at the moment away from the candidates, away from the workers. Are they going to have to go back into an office 5 times a week? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, being an old hand at this, I've got quite a very cynical streak in the sense that there
is. We like it though.
So I'm a little bit cynical. I think that people might have to. But having said that, I don't know whether some organisations are too far down the road. I mean, what I would like to see is choice. Because yep. I actually work with a lot of people who want to go back. They would kill to go back to the office. And so I worked with one woman in the States yesterday who's working remotely. She said, I just want to go back to the office. So I think it's going to be different for everyone. But I think we will see a power dynamic shift from candidate to employer. I think that's my feeling.
I actually tend to agree with you. And maybe not in every industry, but definitely across certain industries, people aren't just going to have that bargaining power anymore. Neil, what are your thoughts around that, about recession actually killing the remote workforce?
So I think it probably challenges our concept of remote and hybrid in quite a useful way, which is, I think we still view in lots of countries remote and hybrid is some kind of staff benefit. It's not. It's a form of work organization. So if what comes out of it is a discussion, it goes to, where are we, Craig's comment in the chat about fixed costs and rent. Right, I'm saving REC members a five-figure sum every year from next year by taking our physical property down to half the size it currently is. And right. I can do that really easily and simultaneously meet staff's needs to do more at home. Enlightened chief execs should be thinking about this that way. We absolutely do still need to have the capacity to bring people in regularly, because there's lots of stuff people have to do, and there are certainly people who need to be in. It's always worth remembering that home is not always a safe place for employees. There's a piece about having an intelligent grown-up conversation with your teams about, what do I need as chief executive to be productive and to be effective, and what would you like individually, but also collectively, because by and large, younger workers like to come in because they live in flat shares and they want to socialize together. If you're like me, you're the chief exec and you're sitting here in your office at home, even when I'm not COVID isolating, you know, there's a garden downstairs, it's very nice here, I could do all my work perfectly productively for here, but it's not my job. My job is to be there helping people develop. So there's a collective discussion to have at an adult to adult level with the staff, as well as an individual level. It's hard work, but if you get it right, I think you get to where we need to be, which is, remote is just how we organize work. It's not a staff benefit. So the thing, come back to Hung's question, the thing that gets killed is this idea that remote and hybrid is some kind of staff benefit, that it's soft, that it's unproductive. The thing we keep is that we work wherever we are in the best ways. And that, again, and this is probably the biggest and most important message for recruitment firms, puts pressure on our managers. People who are managing desks, if they haven't already learned how to manage on output of a remote workforce, we need to get those skills into them soon.
And if I could just jump in there, I mean, my observation is that this is a massive gap that in a lot of businesses that I work with, even in the training element of my business, is that they don't know. I mean, they think that if they have a crazy hat party on a Friday, that somehow that's
their company culture.
the engagement box. But it's about sort of managers and leaders walking the talk and not taking off to their second home in, you know, Provence or, you know, the Swiss Alps or wherever. But they've got to be with their team and set it up and let people feel that they're being heard and listened to. Because I frequently hear people say, look, you know, I can't even get hold of my manager. I haven't seen my manager. One person I spoke to last week was hired and onboarded remotely and had never had a one-on-one conversation with a manager. And this was the recruitment until he left.
Wow. Wow.
in like 10 weeks.
Wow. Oh, no. No. These are not good. That's not good at all. All very valid points. And I think that I'm not too sure whether we can talk about the recession and the remote as, you know, combined things anymore. I think it's separate. And I think Neil actually gave us a great example there of chatting with people. Home is not always a safe place, which I think we need to realize for a lot of people. And it doesn't only come down to a team level. As you said, it's actually individuals within that team. Like Dorothy's example over there about someone who was employed and for 10 weeks didn't meet their manager. I mean, I found that absolutely appalling.
So guys, one on one.
One on one.
They encountered them in a town hall of, you know, 50 people, but did not.
That works.
But didn't have a one on one with their direct manager until the person said, right, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm done. Oh, my word. Guys, we've got just less than 15 minutes left. So I think that I want to open up some questions to the chat. And I want to ask Neil and Dorothy, what have I not asked you that you had prepared and you want to talk about for recruiters to really recession-proof themselves? Because I think people are here, they know it's coming, they want to get some really good tips and tricks from you or anything else that you'd like to add to the conversation. And we're going to start with Neil. And Neil, if you want, you can run and grab your daffodil hat. We'd love to see that.
I might go and see if I can find it in a second. It's quite a hat. So we've talked a lot about people, as we should. We should talk mm-hmm. about what skills we need in businesses that aren't necessarily just pure recruitment. And if you look at rec tech, because I think efficiency driven by technology is critical. We've done a load of work with the Centre for Data Ethics and Innovation this year at the REC in the UK on ethical use of technology in recruitment processes. That's all on our website, which Hung very kindly put in the chat earlier. I think that thinking about in a scarce resource environment, which investments you want to make and thinking about that in a way that's sufficiently scaled independent of the vendors. So due apologies to my Glaswegian colleagues at Farfish who were in the chat earlier. I think it's fair to say that vendors of rec tech will tell you their software does everything. You need to be thinking about if you're going to make investments through this period, you need to make sure you get ROI, which means thinking about how do you get skills into your business to advise you that don't have an agency problem in terms of being, their loyalty is only to you. So that I think is really important in thinking about how you buy tech. And I think it's a core skill because lots of us who started in recruitment, me included, started as consultants. That's what we learned what to do. We're not natural kind of logistical planners of software, but we probably need some of those skills as our businesses get bigger and as individual professionals, the ability to understand what people are telling us.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it boils down to what we don't know what we don't know. So your software can do everything, but what is everything in your view? Because a lot of people are saying that. Good point. Dorothy?
I'll come at this from a different angle as you cover the overall business thing and from an individual recruiter level. I think if you're working in an organization and you can see that, you know, hiring freezes, that's how it usually starts. So, we're going to take longer. Things get stalled. You've got hiring freezes and you get a sense that things are slowing down. So in addition to all the things I said about training and upskilling and all the rest of it, I think you can just look at other things, look at other careers. I think another HR role within HR if you want to stay within HR. Once again, it depends on your background. Some people come in with a very different background into recruitment. I talked to someone who was in finance, went into recruitment. They could easily go back into finance. The other great thing that most recruiters, I say most, not all, because some of them are less good, is we have great sales skills.
Yep.
And, you know, quite often in a recession or a downtime, the one area people don't cut back is on sales, because they still need to be, pushing into new markets. So I think that, think of it as creating an opportunity rather than the end of the line. Okay, what is this opportunity presenting me? How can I leverage this for something that works? And you know, I think only you know the your boss and the company you work for, because they will lay you off without hesitation. I mean, let's make no bones about that.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You have to protect yourself, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. So anything that we got a couple of questions through there. I like Steve Jewell commenting and saying, why would anyone go into the recruitment industry at this point? And, said from a man with lots of experience, I appreciate that. I think recruitment gets under the skin, gets into the bloodstream. And once you're there, you actually just can't get out. So let's just go to Hung's question over here. Is give us some practical, tangible examples for recruiters. We've discussed learning, we've discussed transferable skills, we've discussed pivoting. We can see this coming down the line. If you were a recruiter now running a desk, okay, maybe you were 5-10 years into your career, what would you be doing right now as a course of action Monday morning? Neil?
Take a piece of paper, mm-hmm. hold it landscape, draw three columns. In mm-hmm. column one, write down everything you need to do, or rather your employer thinks you need to do this year, and everything that you want to do this year. In column two, write down all of your doubts. Where am I short on being able to achieve these things? Why am I short? In column three, write down what you could do about it. Now, when you get to column three, you've probably got 5, 6, 7 things in that column. Pick a couple of them, make some progress in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
that do it. Keep yourself, think strategy to action. The thing I tell, I do a lot of work supporting people with developing strategies for businesses. And the most important thing about strategy is everyone in the world can write a bunch of decent PowerPoint slides. It's putting them into action that's really important. And that applies to you as an individual professional just as much as it applies to your company.
100%, you're driving the bus, you're in control. You know, I love that advice. That advice is so transferable to people's personal lives and everything. That's a great idea. Thanks, Neil. That's really good. Dorothy, from you?
It was Tom Peters said this, the CEO of a brand called You. So, I mean, I think that's really true now. I think that Neil covered all of that, but to add on another layer, I think you still have a job, right? And it's still paying your bills. So I would advise this to anyone in any job. You know, you've got to focus on the job that is paying your bills. You've got to commit to it. You've got to, if you can, make yourself indispensable. Look for opportunities. Maybe you have a client who you can upsell, or there are lots of things that you can do within that. So focus on what you've got, the bird in the hand, but always keep your eye on the market. It's about all those things we talked about earlier, staying up to date, looking for ways to upskill, all of those things. I saw someone put it in the chat, and this is exactly what I did in 2001. I started up my own agency. So I started up my own business.
Brilliant.
And I took like a tiny little piece of business with me, and I grew it. And in the 2009, I kind of left it and went into training consulting and coaching. So I think it's about, you're the person who knows you the best. And you have to do take the action that aligns with your long-term goals. So rather than think like next year, but think maybe 4 or 5 years down the line, okay, how do you want your life to be? And react accordingly.
And Dorothy, just touching on one of the first points that you made was, you know, make sure that you're saving for a rainy day. You don't know what's coming down the future. You know, now's, you know, if this is someone who's just bought a new property last month, but, you know, start putting some money away. It might not be the best time to be being extravagant, you know, in your personal life and your business life, but always make sure that you've got a little bit of a nest egg in case anything should happen. Because as you alluded to, you know, some managers will get rid of you without giving it a second thought, you know? Yeah. So closing comments. Neil, it's been a great show. It's been super to meet you. You're not nearly as grumpy as you made yourself out to be honest. You've added incredible value to today's chat on the Vanessa show. What would you like to end with?
Well, firstly, what a magnificent job you've done, Vanessa, standing in. And I think we should, all acknowledge that. Look, the market in most countries right now is good. So you've got a bit of lead time to think about what you should be doing, but that lead time will drift away over the next few months. So now's the time just to be thinking about this stuff. Take some action, reach out to people. One of the things I think in lots of countries that has changed about recruitment and recruiters over the course of the pandemic is, you know what we're like, you know, we've always had the best quarter ever and we've always spent on a new car, right? That's not actually the way the top end of the industry is now. It's much more cooperative. Use the network. Yeah. So if you're, come along to REC stuff in the UK. I'll even say go to APSCO stuff if you want, but use the network, pick up what you can. It's a great industry. I will always say to people, come back to Steve's point, that people should be in the industry because it's what a launch pad for great careers.
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, that's, I don't know, network community is so important to me. I totally give all my kudos to I am where I am now because of my network and communities. Guys, just while we're going to listen to Dorothy's closing thoughts, if you just want to pop your LinkedIn links into the chat, I know Hung likes to do this so that we can connect. Thanks for the shout outs, Tom and Gavin. And Dorothy, your closing thoughts. I'd love to hear from you. And thank you for your input this afternoon.
I've been upstaged a bit by Neil, actually. I mean, I don't really have anything
not at all
much to add. I would say I picked something up. As I say, I'm not a great multitasker, but I did see a comment going through from Steve about who could have predicted what would happen in 5 years. And there is a difference between having a vision and a plan, okay?
Yeah.
So you can have an idea, your purpose and what you believe in and what you want. Your plan might have to change, but your vision doesn't have to. You can still have a constant vision, just change your plan. But I think that I can only speak for my region because I don't know what's going on in other parts of the world. But things are not as panic stricken as they seem to be in the US. I would say that in Europe. Yes. So, don't get stressed over something that's not happening yet.
Yeah.
But just be sensible. Like you said, Vanessa, you know, keep your cash flow tight. Do the two things that I said, work hard at your job and provide your clients a good service. Make sure that you're developing your personal skills and see what happens. Make the right decision at the right time based on data.
Yeah, exactly. Because we can trust in God for everything, but for everything else, there's data, right? Very important lesson. Great. So guys, that's wrapping up the hour. I have no idea how to switch off Crowdcast, but all I have to say is a message to Hung when we get together in London on Wednesday, the 22nd of June, and anyone else who's around, you're welcome to join us. Apparently dinner's on Hung because, we've kind of all of us collectively have kept a show going this afternoon. So if you guys are available, Hung's buying dinner. Don't pop back on now, Hung.
Were you there all the time?
Honestly, I can't believe it. I'm back.
I can't believe that. I could have spent the entire hour dissing Newcastle United and I forgot to.
I know. I'd like to say that I was actually took the hour off and went to the beach and, got some sunshine, but that was not the case. I got off soon as well, actually, so I have no idea what's going on. Everyone's frozen, so yeah, I think I think I'm frozen again. Shit.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, Hung's going to buy me a really expensive dinner. I'm thinking like lobster thermidor or something along those lines.
Vanessa, you did brilliant.
Well, thanks, Dorothy. Lovely to meet you.
So this is kind of weird talking into an empty room.
Okay, guys. I think we can go. Have a good weekend. I hope the sun shines.
Enjoy your weekend, everyone.
Thank you so much. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.